Thank you, Gary and worship team. That was excellent. Great to hear. The British song, Graham Kendrick. Worship makes a change. Beautiful. Everybody's ready? Settle. Well, it's Palm Sunday today. I'm not preaching a traditional Palm Sunday message, because I should have preached last week, and Brian swapped with me. Last week I travelled to the UK to visit my sister, who's seriously ill with stage 4 cancer. And I'll talk more about that a little later on. But we're following on with the I Am statements of Jesus Christ found in the Gospel of John. If we were better organized, we could have done them in order. But as it is, we've swapped around. And I hope you don't mind that much. But before I get into I Am the Light of the World, I just want to give a little bit of background to what's happening in this book of John and where we are, because it's very important to comprehend and understand the context of which Jesus made this cosmic statement. So in John 6, Jesus Christ feeds the 5,000 and states, "I am the bread of life." And we heard a wonderful message about that from Pastor Brian. And since this miracle, the Jewish leaders are all following him, and the Pharisees love him. No. Unfortunately not. They're trying to kill him. So he's in hiding. And they're looking for a way, an excuse to trap him and to kill him. Jesus Christ's own brothers urged him to go to the Feast of Tabernacles from day one. He said, "Show yourself. No prophets in hiding after this wonderful miracle." But Jesus waits. Jesus came from the Father. He was speaking for the Father, on the Father's behalf, and he's going back to the Father, and he is one with the Father. Jesus came to do the Father's will, not his brother's will. He had a plan, he had a calendar, and he had a destiny that the Father chose for him. And he knew what was best, just like Jordan. The Father's plans are the best plans that we could have. He and his Father had an agenda to fulfill. And the context of this scripture is important to understand exactly what Jesus was saying. So, in the Jewish calendar, the Feast of Tabernacles was vastly approaching. It's also called the Feast of Booths, and in Hebrew, it's called Sukkot, the Festival of Sukkot. To understand this feast, we must have some basic understanding and knowledge of the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. In the book of Exodus, God appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and he said to Moses, "I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring back my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Moses asked God what he should say to the Israelites and why on earth would they listen to him. God told Moses, "Tell them, I am sent you." And they would understand. I am is a statement of God. This is God's identity. Tell them, I am sent you to deliver you from Egypt. Well, most of us may know that story. And after much pleading with Pharaoh and many plagues upon Egypt and the people there, the Israelites left Egypt, and by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud, leading and guiding the Israelite people. And by night, he went by a pillar of fire. And this is known as the Shekinah glory. This what was known, and this is what led them out of the wilderness into the promised land. And this Shekinah glory that we see this painted image of was the presence of the living God. And all the people knew that God was with them. And he led them out of bondage, out of slavery, into the promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. Now it took 40 years, but that's another story. So this is the stage that's set for the Feast of Tabernacles. The feast was part of the celebration of the harvest. In the UK, we still have the harvest festival. In the States, you may have like Thanksgiving. So it's a thankfulness to God for the harvest and his provision. But this celebration, the Feast of Tabernacles, it is twofold. It's not only thanks for the harvest, it's looking back to God's faithfulness, to his Shekinah glory, which led their forefathers out of Egypt, out of bondage, and out of slavery into the promised land. So this is why in this festival, even up to today, they make tents or little booths, and the people live in them for a week, and they remember the faithfulness of God and his provision during this wonderful time. Yeah, stay there. The whole feast was filled with symbolism to remind the people of God's care during their wilderness experiences. One of the most powerful, dramatic moments of the feast, which is also occurred on the first day, is called the Festival of Light. These huge, massive candelabras, which you can see in the court of women, placed. We go back. We one slide in front. So I haven't got a pointer, but there's one on view here, and there's four in each corner. And these are really massive. If you see the people here, they're like mice. So they lit these giant candelabras in the court, and it gave off this massive light. And this light could be seen throughout Jerusalem for miles and miles. And for 7 days, these candelabras were lit, and at night they shone on the whole of Jerusalem for miles and miles around. Now, this is the stage that was set for Jesus. He doesn't come to the Feast of Tabernacles on the first day like his brothers wanted them. He appeared on the last day. And on the last day of this feast, these candelabras, these lights, were put out. And the place was in darkness. And I think this is the stage where Jesus said, John 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Wow. What a powerful statement he was making. He was saying, I am the living God. I am the God, the Shekinah glory, that led your forefathers out of bondage. I am Jesus Christ. I am God manifest in flesh to lead you out of bondage and to show you the way home. There was no shadow of a doubt, and all the people understood this statement he was making. And the Jews understood it too. This is the context he was speaking, this wonderful truth. So before I move any further, I'm just going to talk about light. What is light? Well, visible light, I'll get a little technical, is electromagnetic radiation that is visible to the human eye, and it gives us the sense of sight. The light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Now that is fast. Light, what does it do? It enables us to see. Do you see? Do you see? The Pharisees, so full of pride, that even though they could see, they were blind. And I'm sure this broke Jesus Christ's heart. They didn't see the light. They were opposed to the light. Light enables us to see. It makes vision possible. Like the sun, the moon, a fire, a torch, or a lamp, it illuminates. It exposes. It reveals. It makes something known that was previously hidden. Without light, we cannot see. And when we cannot see, we are what?
Blind.
Louder?
Blind.
Louder?
Blind.
Blind. When we cannot see, we are blind. When we cannot see, we're walking in the dark. The sun, the S-U-N, the planet of the sun, that's our physical source of light. A few facts about the sun. I like facts, but we don't mind. The sun is 93 million miles away from the Earth. If Gary traveled in his sporty Volvo, where are you, Gary? There you go. If you traveled full back 155 miles an hour to the sun, 24/7 without a break, take you over 70 years to get there. Astronomers estimate the sun to be 1.3 million times the volume of the Earth. The temperature at the core of the sun is 27 million Fahrenheit. That's hot. That's hot. The sun's diameter is 870,000 miles wide. Looking directly at the sun can damage our eyes because it's so bright. The sun can burn over 7 million tons of gas a second. But it's not the true light. Not the true light. The Bible tells us it's going to be rolled up like a scroll, and Jesus Christ will be the sun. The sun will be the sun. He will be our light.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The moon is not a light. It reflects the sun. See where I'm going? Jesus is our light. And we reflect his light. We reflect the sun's light. The Son of God. Thank you. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. This is a cosmic, monumental statement that Jesus makes. He was saying, he is Almighty God. As Christians, we have the light, but that doesn't mean the darkness doesn't affect us. I went to see my sister, and she has stage 4A cancer. Stage 4B is terminal, and they're hoping to operate on the 24th of this month. And it's a major surgery. It's a full pelvic sweep of all her organs. if they can do the surgery. And they'll only know fully when they go in case the cancer is too far gone. So it's pretty horrendous. But you know, that isn't the end. As Jordan spoke about dying to self and dying to our flesh and to our rights, and I'm fully with you there in your statement, I'm control freak. I don't like being not in control. But the older I get and the more I walk with the Lord, I'm not in control very much at all. But I'm very happy that my Father's in control. And even though she may die in 18 months, they don't know. But you know what? She knows the Lord. She knows Jesus. And whatever happens, we'll meet again. We'll see her again. You know what? We're all in a queue. You and me. We're all in a queue. We're all going to die, hopefully to ourselves. But one day, this physical body is just going to give up. And the question is, where is the destination? Where are we going to go? Are we going to choose the light? Or are we going to go in darkness? Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. What a bold statement. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Like that disease, their shadows come over us. But it's not darkness. It's not the end. Like Lazarus, it wasn't the end. To follow means to become Jesus Christ's disciple. I follow football teams, I follow Formula One teams, but it doesn't mean to follow in that respect. It means to trust, to give my life, to believe in. See, Jesus Christ knows where he comes from, and he knows where he's going. And the Pharisees vehemently opposed him. They said to his statement, they said, you cannot make this statement. Because you don't have testimony to it. You can't be a testimony to your own statement. He said, I'm not. The Father sent me. He is with me. And I'm returning to him. This is truth. Light has come into the world. Jesus took this light from the Father. He brought it to earth. He lived as a servant and died upon the cross so we could share in that light. Hallelujah. And he showed us the way to the Father. And he's gone back to him. And he's going to come back for us. Thank you, Jesus. As we celebrate Easter at this time, thank you, Jesus, for coming and showing us the way. Nobody else could do it, but only Jesus. And he's done it. The Pharisees totally missed the point. Said, it's my Father that sent me. You know what? The next miracle he did, further on in the book, he heals a blind man. But they were blind and they didn't want healing. Can you see this morning? Can we see? Jesus goes on at the end of this chapter and makes a very bold statement. Verse 24. I told you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. Now in the NIV it says I am he. But there is no he in that statement. If you do not believe I am. If you do not believe Jesus Christ's statement of I am, you will die in your sins. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. He doesn't want anybody to die in their sins. Certainly not in this room. But you've got to accept his light. To walk in darkness is to exist without God in your life. I walked in darkness and selfishness and addiction and pleasing myself for years, thinking, I know best. It's my life. I'll do what I want. I only live once. I'm going to please myself. I'm going to get a big chunk and just do what I please. But that isn't life. Friends, that is bondage. Trust me, I've been there. It isn't life. It's rebellion. It's sinfulness. It's to love sin. It's to know better than God. It's pride. It's the downfall of mankind. To walk in darkness means to pledge allegiance to Satan. There is no middle ground. You're on Christ's side or you're on Satan's side. That's the truth of the matter. This is the verdict, says earlier in John. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. That's it, friends. We have a choice today to accept God's light, to accept his way, or to continue to walk into darkness and destruction and separation from God. So the conclusion of the matter. I told you that you will die in your sins if you don't believe that I am. You will indeed die in your sins. Brothers and sisters, do not be like the Pharisees. Do not be like the religious leaders of Jesus' time. Humble yourself and accept God's promise. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. You won't go wrong. Trust me, it'll be the best decision that you've ever made. His light not only takes us home, it leads us the way. It's a light to our path and a lamp unto our feet. It shows us everyday life decisions. He's with us until the very end of the age. Today is the day of salvation. Put your trust in him. Jesus is the light of the world. In a world of darkness, let's walk in the light. He leads us to an abundant and eternal life. And those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior have the privilege and pleasure of reflecting God's light. He was a light unto the world, unto the Gentiles, and we can be a light unto the world. We're not the light, but we can show the light and point to the true light. Hallelujah. All who follow him will not walk in darkness. Have the light of life.
Amen.
Amen. Brian, would you pray?
Father God, we thank you for sending your Son to be the light of the world. We thank you, Lord God, that you, the creator of all things, the creator of light and darkness, creator of the planets and the stars, sent your Son to be light for us. Jesus, you came You lived a holy life. You did what the Father asked of you, and you went to the cross. You died in our place that we could see. And so today, as we remember Palm Sunday, remember the triumphal entry of Christ, we also remember what comes in this next week, when our Savior Jesus Christ was betrayed, when he was judged falsely and sent to the cross, but he went for us. That on the cross, Jesus was lifted up that the world could see who our Savior was. So this morning we look to the light of the world, we look to our Savior Jesus Christ, and we believe, we see that Jesus is the light of the world, and our lives are changed. For in seeing Jesus as the light of the world, we walk in light. We no longer walk in darkness. This light changes our moment by moment, day by day living, giving us strength and giving us hope, giving us a reason to live. Because you say our Savior did not stay on the cross. You did not stay in the grave, but you rose again. Proving that your statements are true. Proving that you are the light of the world. Proving that you are the resurrection and the life. Proving that you are the shepherd who leads us into life. And we believe and we see.